Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spiked design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGO to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Amp Radio.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the Amp Studios of Danville, California. We're also coming at you from Amp International in Canada, the frozen tundra. We're coming at you live and unedited from the aftermath that was UFC 219 Cyborg versus Holm. Let's do this. Hit it.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As Tony said, welcome to the aftermath of UFC 219, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, right? This week in MMA. Proteus, let's get into this quickly. So at UFC 219, main event, Chris Cyborg defeats Holly Holm in, like I said, a split decision. I mean, a unanimous decision, but I was close, Proteus. I actually kind of called it. Obviously, the victory went the wrong way. It didn't go the wrong way. It went the way it should have, to be frank. But did you see it going the same way? Did you see it four rounds to one? I know their junkie was talking about it, and they kind of were mixed. I had it three rounds to two Cyborg. How do you have it?
Yeah, I think three rounds to two Cyborg is the correct call here. Holly did do more in the first two rounds, but continued to do the same thing in the third and the fourth. And then in the fifth, she mixed it up a bit, took a beating in the third and the fourth for her trouble. But, you know, if she would have been able to mix it up and do more things, I think Holly would have had more success in the fifth, and she may have gotten this fight. It was very, very close, though. And I can see that people are, you know, when they argue again that Chris dominated, I don't think she dominated all four rounds.
I don't think she dominated all four rounds, but I certainly think she dominated the fight. Bonus awards going fight of the night, of course, Chris Cyborg versus Holly Holm. Performance of the night, Habib and Tim Elliott. We'll get into Habib in a few seconds, but let's get into this. Cyborg, of course, $500,000, no win bonus. Holly Holm, of course, $300,000. Let me ask you this, Pro. What do you see next for Cyborg? And, well, let's go Holly Holm first. What's the next fight that you'd like to see for Holly Holm?
To be honest with you, DJ Tony, I would like to see Holm spend some time, put on a little bit more weight, and fight Chris Cyborg again. I think that Holly showed a lot of good signs when she was up against the cage in the first and the second round, and she tried to impose that again in the fifth round. I think that if Holly Holm was actually closer to Chris Cyborg in weight, and you could see the big difference between the two ladies, this would be a better fight. I would like to see this as a rematch. I mean, we know that there's nothing for Chris Cyborg that would draw the amount of attention that a Holly Holm fight would, especially with all the pictures that we've seen come out of Holly Holm, as pretty as she is before the fight and with her battle damage after the fight. I think that we can sell this fight again.
I totally agree with you. I don't think she needs to put on more weight. I honestly think, listen, she's 1-4, Proteus, in her last five UFC fights after going, of course, 10-0 professionally. Lost to Miesha Tate. She was winning that fight. Lost and, of course, was submitted because her ground game is what it is at this point. She did lose to Valentina Shevchenko, and I actually thought that was a typical Holly Holm fight where she's actually being a counterpuncher. I thought she should have beaten Jermaine Durandamy. I actually thought she won that fight, but it was close. right? I mean, you take away the two late hits. Did she really win it? I don't know, right? Could have been a draw. Beth Cohea obviously knocked her out. But if you really think about it, she's gone all the rounds, right? Lost to Misha Tate in the fifth. Hasn't really been finished, so hasn't really been dominated. I'd like to see her back at bantamweight. I do want to see her as a rematch. I think it's clear. And let's get into this, though, Pro. Okay, Chris Cyborg. What's next for Chris Cyborg? We were listening to Junkie today, and they kept talking about Gorgeous George. Kept talking about it's clear that Megan Anderson should be next. Listen, I'm probably the president of the Megan Anderson fan club, as you know. I don't think she deserves. She's got to fight once, Proteus, right? Am I crazy? And before she gets the title fight. Am I crazy?
Who's she going to fight? Is there another 145er that she can fight? No, there's not another 145er.
Darn good point.
Secondly, no one knows who Megan Anderson is. George can look, as much as I love meritocracy, and y'all know if you've been listening to the show for a long period of time that meritocracy is where I'm at. But if you want to sell this 145 division, you can't throw Megan Anderson in there and expect people to buy pay-per-views. Chris Cyborg is going to expect her next fight to have pay-per-view points. Well, again, like you said, she's got a flat rate. So maybe she gets a flat rate no matter where she is. But I don't think, Tony, that they're going to put her on the fight pass prelims, if you know
nope.
What I mean.
I honestly think that Megan Anderson should be on a Fox card or something. I'll tell you, I have a perfect fight for Megan Anderson. Perfect
Go
fight for
it.
Megan Anderson. Fight Tonya Evinger. Not joking. Or fight Leslie Smith.
That would be a good fight.
Fight Irene Aldana. Fight someone that's a pretty tall fighter. Fight them first on a freebie card so that people actually know who Megan Anderson is. And then, of course, and I have a perfect fight for Cyborg. Holly Holm obviously would be perfect. I still want to see, and I brought this up on Junkie a while ago, I still want to see your girl, Amanda Nunes, fight Cyborg. And that's, I think, the second fight right there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think that Amanda Nunes is going to stand a chance. You know, maybe just call it, you know, the Brazilian. Like, I just think that, you know, the Brazilian, especially if they do it in Brazil, Nunes is going to be overwhelmed. I just think that that Chris doesn't really want to fight her anyways, and it doesn't really excite her. Chris is asking for Megan Anderson next, which, again, like I said, I don't think needs to happen next. I don't know who you put Megan Anderson against. Maybe, like you just said, Tonya Evinger, because, you know, Tonya Evinger fought Chris Cyborg right before Holly did. And, you know, I don't think she looked terrible against Cyborg,
no.
You know, and she's moved up a weight class. So, yeah, give her to Megan, give Megan Anderson to her. And I don't know, man. These two women's divisions really seem at the top. You know, the 145 and the 135, they really seem kind of messed up right now. So anything you do probably would be better than not doing anything like the UFC had been doing with Chris Cyborg up until we heard that she was going to fight Holm.
Totally agree. Let's get into this. Something that no one can deny, Proteus. No one. Khabib Nurmagomedov honestly destroyed Edson Barboza. On paper, it's going to look like a decision. And it was a decision. But that, to me, was, as Marco would say, an ass-kicking.
Mollywop, yeah.
Talk about this fight first, and then what's next for Khabib?
Well, first of all, I would have loved to have seen this to be a five-round fight. I know that Barboza was getting his proverbial ass handed to him in this fight. But, I mean, he's got that Brazilian champion spirit. I mean, he was taking a beating from Nurmi, and, you know, he just kept on coming forward and kept on throwing the head kicks. I don't know, man. I just thought, yes, Nurmi did a great job of holding him down and beating his face up. And yes, if it would have been anybody else, maybe they would have quit. But Barboza did not. Barboza was moving. Yes, he was taking a beating. And yes, Nurmi was dominating him. I don't want anybody to think that that's not the case. I just thought, in the end, I thought maybe two more rounds would have been nice to see, because it looked like Nurmi was prepared for three, and it looked like Barboza maybe would have been prepared for more than three. And but again, I don't want to belittle Nurmi's win. It was a great win. He showed what he could do on the ground. And again, I mean, we think about what could be next, Tony, and I'll let you get into this. But I mean, if he fights Conor, I think that Conor might be in trouble.
Let's get into it right away, Pro. What would you like to see next for Barbosa? Because I think there's a bevy of fights there. Khabib, of course, making 160 grand, 80 to show, of course, 80 to win. Edson Barbosa making 75, so actually both of them got paid pretty well. You know what? Never mind Barbosa, because there's a lot of fights that one can make. Let's go into Khabib.
Exactly.
You brought up the Conor. If I'm Conor, and I've said this before, I don't want any part of either Tony Ferguson or Khabib. And let's clear this up, because on Junkie, everyone kept saying Conor versus Tony, Conor versus Tony. I'm not fighting Conor McGregor, Proteus. Let's get that straight. Nothing. Crickets.
Tony, because you said Tony. Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
All right. You're DJ Tony, though. You're DJ Tony.
That's true.
The
what's
DJ
next for Khabib?
Not in the PJs.
Exactly. New Year's Eve, I was in bed by 8:30. Actually, 9:30. Khabib versus Edson. What say you? I mean, what's next for Khabib? What say you?
Well, listen, I think that if you're not going to feed him to Conor, then you got to feed him to Tony Ferguson. If Conor McGregor is not going to be ready to fight in an appropriate amount of time, look, he's already been the champion of this division for a year and he hasn't defended. I don't care how much money he makes for the company. If you want people to watch and pay attention to this division, you've got to make this fight. You got to make Tony versus Khabib for the second, third, fourth, fifth. What time is it, Tony? No. If Khabib stays on his diet, he can make this weight. Clearly, we've seen it. He's talking about moving down to 45. That's a stupid move. Just make 55 and win the belt or contend for the belt. You know what? Honestly, Tony, everybody in this DJ Tony, everybody in this division is not paying attention to Conor McGregor anymore. The only people that are paying attention to Conor McGregor are the casual fans and the media, because Conor McGregor keeps saying things that seem to be inflammatory. I don't care about Conor McGregor. Unless he comes back and fights, he can go F himself and go fight whoever he wants. Make
Ouch.
Another $150,000, $150 million for fighting whomever. I don't care. See you later. Nurmi versus Tony.
Yeah.
Do it.
You know what? I actually want to see. I'm interested in what McGregor is doing, but I do want to see, honestly, the true fight, and you're right, of the two best 155ers is Khabib and Ferguson. I think you're absolutely right. All right, let's move on.
The other guy hasn't fought in a year. Why would you throw him against Nurmi if he hasn't fought in a year? He's just going to get mollywopped, like you said earlier on.
Won't fight him, though. No, for sure. Hang on. I was actually looking at pictures of Holly Holm with Bruce Buffer. And it's, boy, to see that beautiful face torn up, ouch. But you're absolutely right.
That's what happens when you throw the same punches on the lead-in.
Yeah, you know what? And she wasn't we'll move on, but she wasn't fighting.
Yeah, we'll move on.
The fight that I thought would fight, but I will say this, Chris Cyborg's fight IQ is a lot better than I thought. And I said this.
And she was patient.
We said this on. Yeah, great job. Let's Dan Hooker defeats Mark Diakasi via submission. I thought Diakasi was winning the first two rounds, so good on Dan Hooker. He actually looked good. Carla Esparza defeats Cynthia Calvillo. I didn't have it this way, Proteus. I actually had it 29-28, but going the other way. I was shocked, but I'm actually kind of disappointed at Cynthia Calvillo's reaction after the fight. I'm going to throw to you, Proteus. Carla Esparza defeats Calvillo. Did you have it that way?
Yeah, I did, actually. When you texted me on Sunday when I was going through reviewing the fights, and you said that you had it going Calvillo's way, I paid very close attention to this particular fight. And I just thought Esparza, as I said, just outclassed Calvillo a bit. And sometimes in this game or in the MMA game, you reach a ceiling. You reach somebody who can negate what you're doing. Calvillo had a very, very successful first round. Let's not take it away from her. She really had a good and successful first round. The second and the third, not so much. Calvillo seemed to be sitting back, watching what was happening. Esparza getting
it's
those
true.
Single legs, getting the double leg. I know that we have our own particular people that we like to cheer for, but as I said, when you said that, I thought, okay, let me just pay extra attention to this fight because Tony feels a certain way. And I just didn't see it that way, Tony. I thought that the more experienced Esparza won, and she won in a way that, you know, she needed to win in, and she didn't engage. When she engaged in that stand-up game, it was good, and she got the takedown, and a lot of the times Calvillo was able to stand back up. And I think you just still have to count that takedown, even though, you know, Calvillo was able to get back up.
Even when she gets – do you, Pro? Even though she literally – okay. All right.
Yeah.
I thought she got up pretty fast, pretty well. And this is not wearing a Cynthia Calvillo Homer hat right now. Like, literally, I'm not. I'm trying to be obviously, I'm certainly not. I'm certainly biased with Holly Holm. No doubt about it, right? And by the way, shout out to Misha Tate. We apologize. We will run out of time again. But congrats. She's pregnant. So, well, we probably won't get a chance to do that. But, yeah, wishful thinking. That and my wife slapping me, giving me the once over, that's for damn sure, not in a good way. To the welterweight we go. Neil Magny defeats Carlos Condit, and you know what, I kind of thought it was going to go this way. I was hoping that the talented Condit would actually bring a glimpse of his own self, but I said that I thought he had 1 foot out, and you know what, to me he looked like he had 1 foot out. Am I wrong, Proteus? I'm going to throw it to you.
Well, I know that everybody chose Carlos. Look, as I said on Smack My Picks Up Edition, UFC 219, I said Neil Magny is the perfect person to feed Carlos Condit right now. He's the kind of guy who's going to still fight. He's the kind of guy who's going to bring that fight to you. You know, as Pam had said, and as we've noted on this show, he's ex-U.S., I believe we said Marines or military. I can't remember, but he's been in the service.
Army. Yeah, I think
Thank
he's
you
an
very
Army
much. So,
lieutenant or sergeant, I think, yeah, was.
So, again, a guy that's not going to just lay down and quit. And we've seen out of Magny recently, you know, that he's had some frustration with his losses. And I think we saw in this particular fight, Tony, and we saw a Carlos Condit that was coming back off of a long period of time. And I know this is not going to be a popular statement, but just seeing Carlos Condit's performance and then just comparing it to GSP, who was off for a longer period of time, just kind of highlights how, you know, the performance by GSP was, you know, just spectacular. But let's get back to Condit. I thought Condit looked good. I thought that Condit looked like a guy who had been off for a long period of time and was fighting, you know, a top contender in that weight division. You know, I mean, Neil Magny, as we have mentioned on this show, is not a joke, and he's going to be maybe that perennial, you know, kind of gatekeeper. And he's number 8 ranked in the UFC right now. I mean, that doesn't mean anything, but I think Carlos showed good. I would like to see him fight again. And maybe against a lesser competition to build his confidence a little bit. But again, Carlos is still young. What is he, 32? He can fight some more. I'm down. I didn't think it was that depressing of a performance by Condit. I thought Neil Magny was tricky, and I thought Condit was just not throwing the right thing. So his inside elbows just weren't working.
Yeah, he's 33. He will be 34 in April. Not an old 34. And I say about double-digit losses, but since 2012, Proteus, he's 2-6 since 2012, Carlos Condit. And I'm saying this as a Carlos Condit fan. I don't know if I see the same.
What are you going to do with Carlos? I mean, like, look, we need stars, right? We're in the new empire era, and we need stars. Carlos Condit is a name that people can recognize. It maybe not is a name that the, you know, Conor McGregor fanboys are going to recognize, because they're just fucking new. Excuse my language. I apologize. I'm trying not to get over upset. But Carlos Condit is a name you can sell. He may have lost to Neil Magny. Maybe not, Neil Magny becomes a guy that we can push. He's an Army vet. You know, we just have to play it by ear. We cannot start getting rid of these guys because they get some losses. And again, Carlos hasn't been losing to scrubs. He didn't lose to the number 15 guy in the division. He's not done that in years and years and years. So you can't just wash him out with the bathwater because he's got some losses. He's been fighting the toughest guys in the division, and that's what we need. And he's a star. I mean, Pam put out a picture of him on Twitter the other day with his suit on.
I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm saying I'm not sure. I said this before. I don't see the same Carlos Condit. Maybe it's his age. Maybe it's time off. Who the heck knows? But that's a seriously talented fighter who wasn't fighting the way I'm used to seeing. So I don't know. I could be wrong, Pro. That's what I see.
Let me just say one thing off of what you just said there. That's absolutely positively true, Tony. We did not see the Carlos Condit that we're used to seeing. So I would like to see him in one more fight. And if he can't do it in that next fight, then I'm good with seeing him ride off into the sunset.
Steal from Manic.
Sure.
We're not in the business of retiring people. I don't want to see people get hurt. That's my thing. Let's move on. So I'll fly through this quickly. Tell me if there's anything that you want to stop on, and then we'll go into real quickly some of the news. But Oleksijic.
Who the fuck is that guy?
You know what? TJ, who's your mama there? Defeat my boy, Khalil Roundtree. Unfortunately, I called that. Miles Jury looking good. Defeating Rick Lynn. Marvin and Venturi, shout out to Pam, defeated Akhmedov and Matias Nicolau.
TJ, who's your mama?
Defeats Luis Mocha, another loss for Luis Mocha. Matias Nicolau looked fantastic, by the way. And that's four straight losses for Luis Mocha. So I don't know if it's another promotion time for him. And shout out to Tim Elliott, who defeated Mark De La Rosa. Anything there that you want to touch on any one of those fights?
Sure. I just wanted to go to the Venturi Akhmedov fight. This is listed on UFC.ca as a draw. So I just wanted to say that. Secondly,
majority draw. My bad. Versus,
That's okay. That's okay. I just wanted to say Miles Jury versus Rick Lynn. Great fight. I mean, Miles Jury could have ended this fight early on. And I think, Tony, I just want to talk about Miles Jury in this particular fight.
Yeah, let's do it.
One thing I noticed about Miles Jury is that he's a guy who's willing to admire his work. He kicked Rick Lynn in the liver a couple of times and just stood back and watched Rick Lynn go, oh shit, that hurt.
That's true.
And didn't have that killer instinct to get on top of him and finish the damn fight. It just seems like Miles Jury is just willing to be that guy. I don't want to say that he's just trying to be that pretty boy that admires his work, but that's exactly what I'm going to say. I mean, it's not a secret that, you know, Miles Jury hasn't been back in the game because he left his camp because, you know, he thought he was all that in a bag of chips. So good win by him. He looks good getting off the bus. Got a good win on this one against the guy moving up. I just think that we need to see what happens again next with Miles Jury, because as we said on this particular program, we're not sure what's going on with him. And that's just something that stood out in my mind on that one. You mentioned, you mentioned Smolka. I don't know where Smolka's going next. It just seems like he's freezing up, Tony, DJ Tony. He just seems like he's freezing up in the moment because he needs a win. You know what I mean? We all thought that he was a very, very talented individual and that he could get it done. But when he's in the spotlight and he's had a few losses, he just seems to be freezing up and not letting it flow like we know he can do. And, you know, it's very concerning. Lastly, of course, I wanted to touch on the Elliott case here. Of course, Tim Elliott. You know, I don't want to talk about suicide and get onto that subject, but you know, Tim Elliott being affected by you know, his coach not being around anymore was kind of a heart touching thing for me, and a good win for him. Very impressive. And you know, you never know Anyways, I just wanted to say that. That's all I want to say.
We're all kind of fans of the late Robert Paulus, yep. But it affects everyone. I mean, it affects friends. It affects family. I haven't had that, but I've had friends that have had, that have gone through that. And I don't think you ever escape it. He fought well, and he held his composure for as much as someone possibly could. Kudos to him for getting the win, hopefully in the honor of the late Robert Paulus. Proteus, let's move on to this. A few things I want to touch before we get out of here. Mackenzie Dern will fight Ashley Yoder at UFC 222. Is Mackenzie Dern ready to be a UFC fighter, bro?
Well, I think we covered this a couple of shows back. No, I don't believe that she's there yet. But, I mean, let's see what happens. I mean, like you said, Ashley Yoder is not at the top of the division, so maybe that's a good person to feed her. I mean, the matchmakers have to give these people who are coming back into the UFC, whether it be male or female, a person who they think is a test for them that can show out, and they do need to show out. And Mackenzie Dern will need to do something spectacular, in my opinion, in order to flourish in the UFC. But listen, Tony, as we know, we can cue the music. She's not going to be hard to market.
No, certainly not. Listen, let's cue the music one last time for one of our favorites, or at least mine for sure. The beautiful Misha Tate announces that she's expecting a baby girl. Congratulations to them. Clearly, I don't think she's coming back, right? That's it for her?
Well, of course, she announced her retirement when losing to Amanda Nunes, so she wasn't expected to come back and still going to look good afterwards. So, you know, cue the music again. Misha.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
We love Misha Tate. Proteus, one last thing. Former NFL player Greg Hardy will make his MMA debut as an amateur fighter. This is an NFL player that kind of has a past of spousal abuse, or at least physical abuse for sure. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's one more thing I want to talk about after this, if we might. But yeah, the War Machine case, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And we all know how that ended. Look, I don't belittle anybody for taking on anybody, any promotion that's taking on anybody who has any kind of marketing name. But I think that we should all just be cautious and careful how much, you know, we're willing to pay this fella. And, you know, if he ends up acting up again, we have the War Machine case to call back on. So let's not get that done again. Please and thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's go on. Yeah, let's move on to the next subject.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up your buddy real quickly, Conor McGregor. Again, we mentioned him earlier on in the show, and him, you know, making those comments about Nurmagomedov, or Nurmi, as we like to say. I just wanted to say that I think Luke Thomas brought it up perfectly, that, you know, if you're not going to fight and you're just going to, you know, shit talk people for a full year and you're not willing to fight, like, nobody's interested anymore. I think that the business and the industry is changing. And Tony, I think that that's going to allow for us to have more interesting stories in the future. I really do. And I just quickly to wrap up, I know because we're on a time frame, we wanted to keep a certain amount of time here. I just wanted to thank everybody again. You know, this year of 2017 really seemed like a down year for news for me, especially the last 6 months. I apologize for not doing any more Proteus's Prime Times. That, as I said in the past, you know, it became a challenge to find news. And I just think that maybe if we return to the original format that we used to have, we might have some more news. And, you know, this Conor McGregor thing is just kind of crazy to me, Tony. I don't know what you think about it, but I just don't think that Conor McGregor is relevant anymore.
Yeah, and you know the great thing about our show, Proteus, is that we run it, you and I, right? So we can, you know, we're mobile, we're fluid, we can change it as we want to change it, and we all always will change things. Unfortunately, like you said, life gets in the way. And listen, it's been incredibly hard doing the MMA minute sometimes. I agree with you there. Sometimes
I know, right?
I don't have 40 seconds of MMA news. Not joking. Sometimes I don't have 40 seconds to put on. So at the risk of Chasm getting me for putting a 35-second MMA minute, sometimes I just I just don't do them.
Well, yeah, not everybody understands that, you know, it's a challenge to come up with things to put out. But look, listen, you're the amped versions of the post-fight press conference have been getting a lot of love on Facebook. So I just wanted to say that out to you live. Keep it up, man. It's doing good.
Thanks a lot, Proteus. Well, listen, Happy New Year to everyone. We
Happy
always appreciate the love. Happy New Year, everyone. We appreciate the love. We certainly appreciate the support. We do it for you guys, and we do it because we're MMA fans talking about MMA. Thanks for everything, and I was going to say thanks for listening. Proteus, let's get out of here. Let's anything that you want to bring up, anything that has been piquing your interest of late?
Well, I watched that new Will Smith movie that they put out on the UFC broadcast last on UFC 219. It was called Bright. I wasn't overly impressed, but I thought, you know, it's a pretty good movie for YouTube, so or for Netflix. So go out and see it.
I agree with you there. I wasn't really overly impressed, right? But it's. Yeah, I wasn't.
It seemed like it was rushed.
I wasn't over.
Tony, it seemed like it could have been 3 hours and been an interesting movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it just, you're right. I think it seemed a little like it wasn't ready, right? Like they just put it out just to put it out. Not bad. I want to leave you
or
with this. Have you seen
much.
The. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're trying to get it under 2 hours, like we're trying to get our shows under an hour. Maybe,
right.
Maybe that's it. But Proteus, let me ask you this. Have you seen the new Star Wars?
I have not seen it yet, but I'm okay with spoilers.
No, I'll hang on to that. I'll hang on to that. I don't know. Here's things that make you go, I don't know why people clap at the end of theaters, because we're not in the screener, so the actors and the writers and producers aren't going to hear it, so... I find that odd, but there was very little clapping on this one, which I don't know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm going to give a quick comment. A lot of people were expecting stuff, and when you don't give what they're expecting, or when you do give them what they're expecting, they're not happy anyways. So you know what? Disney's doing what they need to do to open a theme park, and they're doing what they need to do to carry on the franchise in a different direction. So I haven't seen it yet, but... I'm okay with what's going on because, you know, if we need to see the same movie 3 times in a row, I don't think that's a good thing, which we did see.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, Proteus, let's get out of here. Maybe we'll do a show during the week just to get I want to get Pam's impression of what we had out there.
Well, she had a great week.
Of course, oh my gosh, and on Junkie. Shout out to Pam.
Yep.
And, of course, we won't have a Smack My Picks up until January, the week of the 14th. So we'll do something special. Let's get out of here, Proteus. And like that, woo. We're gone. Chuckery.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.